Thank you, Father, for the time you've given us to be together. Thank you for fun and laughter. It's always special just to speak your word, speak your heart, and be a part of what you're doing. Just to be a part of that. Just to experience you in the work that you do. Not only in our lives, which comes first, but also within the lives of others. As we're the glove and you're the hand, and you put your hand into our lives and do the work. Most certainly that we would be totally inapt and unable to do ourselves. So, Lord, this is not about us in a solo part. Lord, this is about us and you in our relationship together. So thank you for directing our lives. Thank you for the word that we have the opportunity to share this morning. And may your name be exalted and lifted up in Jesus' name. Amen. Have your Bibles. I hope you do. Never leave home without it. That's right. It's better than American Express, I'll tell you that. Go with me to 1 Kings chapter 17. 1 Kings chapter 17. Jerry, that's in the Old Testament. Yeah, and he pays me for that. He said every remark. He said I will pay you for it. Or maybe it's repay. Is that what you said? Repay. 1 Kings chapter 17. Upon thy screen thou shalt read. Well, you can read chapter 10 if you want to. We're going to be in chapter 17. Here we go. Now Elijah the Tishbite, that's his father was a termite, and so, no, anyway. Who was of the settlers of Gilead, said to Ahab, as the Lord, the God of Israel, lives, before whom I stand, surely there shall be neither dew nor rain these years except by my word. The word of the Lord came to him, saying, go away from here and turn eastward and hide yourself in the brook of Cherith, which is east of the Jordan. It shall be that you will drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to provide for you there. So he went and did according to the word of the Lord, for he went and lived by the brook Cherith, which is east of the Jordan. The ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning, and bread and meat in the evening. He would drink from the brook. It happened after a while, that what? The brook dried up. Uh-oh. The brook dried up because there was no rain in the land. Now, just a little bit about this setting. Ahab was a very wicked king. And Jezebel was his wife, and she was into witchcraft and all kinds of Babylonian worship, Ashtaroth, and Baal were the main gods that were worshipped by the wicked at that time. And this was a very difficult time for Israel because Ahab and Jezebel were basically drawing them aside or drawing them away from the truth. So the Lord speaks to Elijah, and he says, go present yourself before Ahab and tell him only by the word of the Lord spoken by you, only as you speak my word, will the heavens give forth rain or the earth will give forth dew any longer. And what he was basically saying is, unless you speak it, Elijah, I'm giving you the authority and the ability to declare rain or drought. So it's by my word through you. So he approaches Ahab and he gives them the word of the Lord. And Ahab can do nothing but just hear and listen to what is going on. And then Elijah dismisses himself. And the Lord said, I'm going to provide for you, even in the drought, in the famine. And so I'm going to take you to the brook of Cherith, which is east of Jordan, the Jordan River. And I'll provide for you there. And the scripture says that the ravens fed him bread and meat in the morning and in the evening. And then he drank water by the brook. Do you guys know more about this than I do, do you know what ravens eat? I'm sorry, roadkill, you know? Now, somehow, I think God had his hand in that for the raven to bring him some steak once in a while. Or, you know, you know what I mean. It's before lunch, isn't it? How many of you are fasting today after that? I don't know. I mean, obviously, we can only take from what the Scripture gives us. We don't really know about what kind of meat, except ravens are kind of like the scavengers of the day. I mean, that's usually, they don't kill a whole lot, but they take something that's already been killed. And for whatever that's worth, that's what Elijah ate. And drink by the but bread for a period of 3.5 years. And if you can make this transition with me, here's what that means. Things were going really good for Elijah, even with some of the thoughts that we have about what the ravens bring him. He represents God's provision for us. God was taking care of Elijah, even though there was famine across the land, and because of the lack of water, the plants weren't producing, and it was going to be a real difficult time. But Elijah was taken care of. God provided for him. Now, I want you to just to get that in your mind, because that's the special, that's the word for the day. God's provision is always sufficient for us. Now, there are times in our lives, and possibly and probably more than once, that the brook dries up. Now, Elijah had it made. God was providing for him. Everything was going well. He was well cared for. Ahab was furious, but we have nothing in God's word says that there was a threat for his life yet. This was before Mount Carmel, where he called fire down from heaven and it consumed the sacrifice. This was before that. So here Elijah is being cared and caressed by the Lord, being provided for, and then all of a sudden it appears like everything falls apart. Anybody been there? I mean, you thought you pretty well had it made. Maybe it was retirement. Maybe it was a job opportunity. Maybe it was a marriage. Maybe it was, I mean, I think all of us, this should not be an uncommon thought for us. Number one, we're all broken. We're living, most of us, day to day, and the secularism of it is paycheck to paycheck. But at least when that's happening, we are being cared for. The manna fell upon Israel every day. So we live our lives, and we understand and learn by that to live our lives day by day, because God's grace is only sufficient for today. Now, it will be sufficient for tomorrow when tomorrow gets here. But God doesn't give us the provision that we're going to have tomorrow while we're still in today. Does that make sense? So we live our lives day by day, and that's what Elijah was doing, until one day there was no water in the brook. Now, the scripture's not clear on it, but I would also say this. Not only did the brook dry up, the ravens stopped bringing him food and water. Or food and bread and meat. That all of that stopped. Now, what happens to us when we see something like that happen in our lives? One of the first things the enemy wants you to think about is, well, you did something wrong and God has pulled away. Say goodbye, because, you know, things just went in the dumper. Your whole life, everything. Now listen, Elijah, he was human. He was a man like you and I. In fact, that's stated in Scripture. In James, that Elijah was like us. And in that, I wouldn't doubt if he had some thoughts of, oh boy, what's going to happen now? Because if the brook dries up, and yet, listen to me. God never lost control of anything that was going on. God was always there to provide for Elijah. I don't see in Scripture that he missed a meal or that he got thirsty. God's provision, somehow, his provisions were always there. Now, verse 8 talks about the direction of the Lord when the brook dries up. And it says that the word of the Lord came to Elijah, and he told him to go to what? Zarephath. And he said, that's where I have provided a widow there to provide for you. Now, here's, if you don't hear anything else, this is what I would like for you to just be able to get down in your spirit. God always provides. Not always the way our agenda has it written out. I don't know how you work. My mind works in as much as possible in a structured, you know, I've got 3 daytimers. What does that tell you? You know, and then I've got cell phones that sync. Yeah, phones, plural, that sync up to my computer, which also has a daytimer on it. And so it and not daytimer trade name, just the daytimer outlook or whatever it is. And so that I sink my life every evening. Now, if I'm away from home, I've got a portable computer that I sink my life up to every evening. Now, I don't know what kind of personality and the temperament of Elijah, but all that I read about him, he seemed like a pretty organized guy. So he's got everything laid out, and all of a sudden the brook dries up. But instead of freaking out, he says to himself, and this is Ackley's paraphrased version. He says, the Lord will provide. The Lord will take care of it. The Lord is Jehovah Yireh. He is my provider. He is, the song says Jehovah Jireh, but Jireh is the English paraphrase of Yireh. So it's same word. God provides for our life and never stops providing, listen, no matter what it looks like to us. And no matter what kind of calamity it feels like. Your emotions will give you different feelings, and sometimes it's freak out feeling. Because when things start going sideways, what do? We freak out. But God never gets shook up. He is never shaken. And therefore, whatever that happens in our lives, God is in control. Years ago, David Wilkerson received some prophecies declaring the end days and some of the things, and bless his heart, he's with the Lord now. But I miss a lot of, because I used to get the blogs that David Wilkerson would do, and now somebody else is doing that for him. But he used to receive the prophetic words of the Lord of the eschatological, that's last days, events that would happen on the earth. And here's what he came up with to conclusion. He said, I don't want you to be downhearted of this, because the Lord has said this, five words, God has everything under control. So when the brook dries up, listen, it's just God moving us from one place to another. That's usually how God moves us. You know why? We love that old hymn, I shall not be moved. We don't especially like that old hymn of, I feel like traveling on. We get satisfied, and we get in a position where things feel pretty comfortable. We're receiving the provision of the Lord. Things feel good to us. We're all right. We're not maybe having an abundance of financial, you know, prosperity, but we have enough to make it and enough to share. And so we're moving forward, and life is good. Until the brook dries up. When God says, I want you to go to Zarephath, wherever your Zarephath is, see, it's going to be different from us than it was for Elijah, in that this is, I'm giving you some principles that our Zarephath is not a town where a widow lives. But it can be any kind of transition where the Lord is taking us from where we are to where He wants us to be. Now, He spoke to this widow that had a son, and it was all part of God's plan. But Elijah didn't know anything except the word of the Lord came to Elijah and said. Now, here's what I'm proclaiming to you today. It doesn't really matter if the brook dries up, because you know that God has your life in a loving, caring position, and He's going to carry you. Remember the poem that deals with the footsteps, you know, just one set of footprints, and Lord, why did you forsake me? Because on the shore there's only one set of footprints. Don't worry, my child. Those are my footprints, and that's where I carried you, not abandon you. That's where I carried you. And there are times that you're only going to see one set of footprints, and you're going to think, God has forsaken me. As much as we've experienced the Lord's move in our lives, as much as God did in the lives of Israel, in those approximate 2 to 3 million people, as much as God did, and Deuteronomy is a great book just to kind of walk us through the acts of the Lord, and several of the Psalms, and prophetic word by David and Asaph, as they walk us through the works of the Lord. And yet, there was a time, still even going to the disciples, and as much as they heard the word of the Lord, when things begin to go sideways on them, they begin to doubt. And they were actually shocked at the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the very teacher, the very one who told them this is what's going to happen. Now, we experience that. We hear preaching and teaching from God's Word every Sunday. Sometimes during the week too, in our home groups and different things that are going on in the church body. And we hear the Word of the Lord. But do we really hear the word of the Lord? I say that because we still have a tendency to freak out when the brook dries up. But don't worry, because as surely as the brook dries up, and it will or has and will again, be that the Lord will give you provision and give you instruction and will give you what you need, not always what you want, huh? But He will give you what you need every single step of the way. God will never bail out on us. And here's another principle that I would like to just insert right here. Not only is God moving us from where we are to where He wants us to be, here's the kind of an attitude that God is building in us. He is saying to us, if you will turn the challenges of your life into an opportunity of learning more of God and how God works, not just learning about God, but knowing God. We sing the song, I want to know you more. Do we really? And as we do, and as we can sing that, and as we declare it, it is also an opportunity for us to learn, to hear the word of the Lord, to know the word of the Lord, to know the person of the Lord, and let Him lead us and guide us like He did Elijah. And for us to have that same attitude that was in Christ Jesus, as Philippians talks about, chapter 2, have the mind of the Lord as He makes these transitions in our lives. So, you know, you go out to your car, and you have a flat tire, and so many would say, "Oh, that darn devil." Well, what if that's an opportunity for you to learn more about God's work and how He works? The reason I say that is I blew a tire coming back from Bakersfield a couple of years ago. I'd been preaching for Bob Proctor there, we were coming back. And a rear tire just exploded. I mean, I guess it was a default somehow. And it is a defect. And it just exploded. Well, that was my first thought. Man, that devil. I do hate him. The scripture tells us to hate the things that God hates and love the things that God loves. And I hate the devil. But by the time it was all over and I looked back on the scenario, the devil gets blamed for a lot of things that he had nothing to do with. In fact, if you heard the story about a guy started to walk in the church one time, and there the devil was sitting on the church steps just weeping and crying and his head in his hands, and he was weeping. And the guy that's going into the church says, "What in the round world's wrong with you?" And he said, "Those people in there are blaming me for things that I had nothing to do with." Sometime, those are transitional movements of the brook drying up. I look, for instance, at Joseph. Joseph was a man that the brook dried up on many times. You know, he has this great dream at about 15 years old, maybe 14. You know how teenagers are. You got to love them. But sometime their communication skills are not quite what they should be. Let's just put it that way. At least my two weren't. And so. He tells his brothers the dreams that he had. And of course, they're so mad at him because he's a favored son anyway, so they put him down in a well. Well, the Midianites come by, gypsies, and they pick him up out of the well, probably hear his screams and cries because there's no way he can get out, and they pick him up and make a slave of him. And he ends up somehow in jail. So after that jailhouse experience, he ends up in Potiphar's home, and everything that Potiphar has except his wife, Potiphar says, "I'll give you control over everything." Which Potiphar was the captain of the host the king and the Pharaoh, and anything that Potiphar said basically was like the king saying it. And every time that Joseph would get someplace, that brook would dry up. But the Lord would take him to another level or another area of transition. Over a period of 14 years, now, it took 14 years to prepare Joseph to be in the place and the position where God was specifically taking him. But it only took 1 hour for him to go from the prison to the palace. And because he kept the word of the Lord and would not yield to Potiphar's wife, he got put on death row. And he was there for at least 3 years, we know. And then the Pharaoh had an understanding that the butler was finally able to say, I know who can tell about your dream, and I know one that is in touch with God. All through Scripture, this principle is valid. All through, you can just, as you read through the Scripture, understand there's many, many times in people of God where the brook dries up. It may be, again, financial. It may be in the family. It's everywhere that we look. Daniel experienced it. David experienced it. The Apostle Paul experienced it. So many instances in God's Word where the brook dries up, but God hasn't forsaken them. It just appears that way. It just looks that way, perhaps in your life. You can say, wow, this is overwhelming. I'm flooded with emotion. How am I going to get by this? How's the Lord going to work this out? Might be a more acceptable question. What's God going to do in this? It feels like everything's falling apart around me, but I know that God has everything under control. And I know, therefore, that He will be punctual. And He's never too early, never too late, but God's going to take me from here to my own Zarephath, where a widow lady is going to be asked to provide for the man of God. And just to make sure we have a complete illustration here, Elijah goes to Zarephath and finds that the widow lady here with her son is going to make a loaf of bread and has a cruse of water, and they're going to make that little loaf of bread and eat it and die. They will starve to death at that point. They don't have any other provision. And yet, when Elijah gets there, now, the word of the Lord has already come to this woman. But it's still, can you imagine walking in and saying to a little widow lady with a son that has no provisions, going to have one loaf of bread, and it's all over, no more provision. And Elijah walks up and says, by the way, fix that loaf of bread for me. The audacity. You know, that's... But God went before him and told the lady, prepare the loaf. He told Elijah, I've already spoken to her. See, God always goes before us. That's the reason He's always got everything under control. So I don't care what you're going through today, when it comes to the provision of the Lord, God is always there. He's always providing. He's always going before you to work out the details. He's always on time. He will never let you be abandoned. Though it may seem like it may feel like it, you may have thoughts about it, but yet the reality is God has it all in control, even when the brook dries up. Hello. So where's your life? What is your brook drying up? And does it feel at times like there's nobody to call upon? And yet when we cry out to God, when we cry out to Him, when we get to the place where we trust Him, when we get to the place where we really understand who's in control, and we learn to really depend upon the Lord, and what you're looking at upon the screen as we just really have a lesson as an opportunity to trust in the Lord and to make Him more part of our lives every single day, so we won't fall apart in the day of famine. Now, I don't know what's going to happen in the near future, but just let me close with this. Whatever happens, just follow the words of the Lord. Whatever happens, whatever it looks like and feels like. See, we get bumped off track sometime by our feelings. Sometimes our thoughts get twisted. Sometimes we lose sight. And that's, you say, well, you're a heathen if you do that. You're a pagan. No. The disciples even did that. So the answer is to cry out to the Lord, trust in Him, learn more about Him, learn the opportunity that the challenge before you when the brook dries up is often God just making this transition and moving you to another place where He wants you to be, and that's your Zarephath. and the miracles that are going to come out of that. Elijah ended up raising the son of this precious woman from the dead. And if Elijah hadn't been willing to go through all of that, the enemy would have had his glory day in the death of Elijah. What are you going to do when the brook dries up? You're going to trust in the Lord. You're going to trust in the Lord. Thank you, Father, for bringing us together today. Thank you for truth, life, and love. Thank you, Lord, that you've given us the opportunity to minister before you, before your people. Somehow, Lord, you take these words, your word, and speak them not just to our ears, but speak them deeply into our heart. And may our heart be moved, because we have the answer to what happens when our brook dries up. Because really, it's your brook all the time. You just give us a chance to drink from it. And then the Zarephath that you have prepared for us, we can move to there. And many miracles and signs and wonders will come from our lives as we follow the word of the Lord and know you more. So touch your people, Lord, in whatever situation and wherever they are in these transitions that come in our lives. Let us keep our vision, our perspective upon you. In Jesus' wonderful, precious, and glorious name. And everybody together said,
Amen.